Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Yes, it is Sunday morning on The Fan. Good morning, everybody. This is Bob Salter. Mr. Minko, it's always a pleasure to see you on Sunday morning.
You know what? They always say, and you've heard this expression, timing is everything. And here I make this appearance on a Sunday morning, and I haven't been on this shift in quite a long time. And it's the timing is right. It is a good thing that I'm here to monitor this program and actually officiate this program, because this is the busiest program in the history of the empire. And how long have you been here doing this?
You don't know that? I'm shocked at you. We started year 26 of this program January 2nd of this year.
That's right. We had the fully catered party, and I missed that.
Yes, and thank you to the program director.
That's exactly right. But you know, I'm here to monitor everything, and it got off to a little bit of a slow start, so I'm a little bit disappointed in my contribution, but I'm sure things will pick up here.
Listen, this is going to be a very busy show, and this is something that topic-wise is going to cover a lot of different areas, because we're going to be talking about AAU and talking about some of the interesting initiatives that AAU has become involved in, including talking about the Urban Initiative Program. We have a plethora of guests who are joining us in the course of our program, too. I'm very pleased as well on Sunday morning, because this doesn't happen often enough with this program, as far as I'm concerned, that we start off our program with guests who are actually in studio with us this morning. Starting this portion of the program in studio, Joe Mirza, who is CFO, National Treasurer of AAU. First of all, it's nice to have you join us on our program, Joe. And as a matter of fact, as I understand, you actually had flown in. Normally, you were in Chicago, Illinois.
That's correct.
So welcome to this part of the country.
Thank you for having me.
All right, we got to get you a little closer to that microphone there,
Thank
too.
Thank you.
Okay. Jim Fox, who is governor with AAU New York. Jim, nice to have you join us. Good morning. And Joe Arminio, who is registrar with AAU New York.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Nice to have have you join us as well. There's so many different areas to go in the discussion. We were talking a little bit before we started this portion of the program, and as I mentioned, other guests can join us in studio and by phone over the course of the next couple of hours of our program. I say AAU or AAU sports. Do most people have a clue as to exactly what that covers?
I don't think so. To start off, let's just a little bit about the history of the AAU. The AAU was created in 1888 right here in New York City at the New York Athletic Club. So our history is from New York City. It was created for New York Athletic Club to be able to compete against Chicago University Club, the Philadelphia Club, Boston, all the different clubs, while they had programming within and competition within their system, ecosystem, they weren't participating against other cities. So the AAU was created initially to have that available to them. Over the years, the AAU became to represent most amateur sports throughout the United States. And until 1978, we represented the United States on several sports for the Olympic Committee. In 1978, we divested ourselves from our Olympic sports, and we became a grassroots-based program where we serve on an annual basis. We have about 750 to 800,000 members with a 150,000 volunteer base across the United States. Our programs have 42 different sports administrated from all levels, from beginning level, from to the elite, to the continuing level of programming. So it's quite a broad, quite a large, quite a open, quite a phenomenal program that I think that we have across the whole United States, in every state, in every territory.
And part of the work of AAU involves partnering with communities?
This is a program that we've embarked on several years ago, about 5 years ago. Our whole thought pattern was that we, in our opinion, run one of the best amateur sports programs in the country. But when we visit a community, we bring events to a community, we look at the community, we come in there, we say it's a great place to run a championships. Our athletes come, they participate, they leave. The Convention and Visitors Bureau is happy.
Mm-hmm.
Hotels are happy. Restaurants are happy. Bars are happy. But when we leave, nobody really knows that we were here, except those people. So part of our thought was we need to be giving back to the community. We need to do something that says, hey, we were here, make an impact on the community. So several years back, we embarked on several different projects, one of them which I'm very intimately involved with, which is called the Urban and the County Initiative, where we bring together the youth of the community in a very safe environment for them to participate in sports. And we do this in cooperation and actually in partnership with community organizations, law enforcement, faith-based organizations, city, municipality, government organizations. So we were here to create relationships, and not only just between the AAU and these agencies and these organizations, but to help develop relationships between the youth of the community, the underprivileged, the underserved youth in a community, and us, and the community. It's our common ground. It's the bond. It's the thread through which we can basically have these people come and join us. Sports, which is what we offer.
How successful has that been?
Very successful. Very successful. It takes effort to get this rolling, to get the initial inertia. But once the community sees the programs, and once for the organizations that are involved with us, once they see how effective and how engaging this is with the community, they come on board 100%. You know, well, let's not say 100%. Let's say they come on board very strongly with us.
They kind of take on a life of their own once we get them going. Like Joe was saying, we started up in Albany. I took the program down into Brooklyn in, you know, not a great area, and worked with the police department. And the first program we got going was actually flag football, because that was, well, as they say, the low-hanging fruit. It was easy to get going. Wasn't a lot involved. We needed a field. We didn't have to get a gym or anything.
Right.
And it worked really well.
Now, where in Brooklyn was this?
Brooklyn North. So
okay.
All the precincts in Brooklyn North. So it worked really well. We started with six teams. Halfway into it, we had so many kids. By the time we started up the second season, each precinct had their own team. So we had 12 teams in Brooklyn North. Then it went into basketball. We're actually starting our third basketball season in March. And, you know, everything just moves on from the next person. One of the people we were working with there moved into community affairs. So now he's taking us into Queens, and we're going to be starting a soccer program in Queens, working with them, hopefully coming up in April. And while I was there, we met with people just accidentally with the American Clergy Leadership Conference. I had a meeting with them. And in my meeting with them, you know, I was trying to explain to them the programs. And someone was there, and they said, I was at one of the things in Brooklyn. I really didn't know about it. And they gave us, you know, a rousing okay to get going. And from there, we've have a program starting up in March in Los Angeles, working with another program that we're trying to get started in South Carolina. So we're trying to, you know, broaden our horizons and move out. And not, you know, it's not just a New York program. It's taken on a life of its own through communicating with different people.
This idea of the there being this interaction, I want to use the word, and correct me if I'm incorrect in using this, almost a partnership between cops and kids. What's that like? What's the reaction to that?
It's great. Jim? I was my first career was in federal law enforcement, and quite frankly, I did, you know, I was in those areas where we're in now in another capacity. Now I see the police officers serving as coaches, as referees, and with kids, and they both the kids and the police officers get to know each other on a much deeper and more friendly and more of an understanding of each other. And I think that goes so much to, you know, community policing. But what the leadership in the Brooklyn North NYPD has done is they've created great communication and greater understanding. This goes so much further than sports. Sports is the vehicle.
Right. So if that's the case, you can kind of build on that kind of partnership in establishing that connection. Could that lead to other things in a positive fashion?
Absolutely. You know, I look at it, and if a police officer, you know, or say a young teenager sees a police officer, he's not going to maybe see him as the enemy or some kind of thing. And he might see him as, maybe I know him. Mm-hmm. And maybe violence and disruption can be avoided. Maybe somebody's lives could be saved.
Excellent. All right, we're going to take a pause in our discussion. A few messages, Mr. Minko's update. Get back into our discussion as well as we continue this Sunday morning. Well, good morning, everybody. This is Bob Salter. We are in a discussion talking about the work of AAU. We're talking about AAU sports, so many different areas where we're going to go. As I said at the beginning of our discussion, we started just after Mr. Minko's 6 o'clock update. There's so many areas to go in discussion in studio with us. Joe Mirza, who is National AAU Treasurer. Jim Fox, New York Metro Governor. Joe Arminio was in studio with us. He stepped out for a moment. He's New York Metro Registrar. Stepping in
to join the discussion in studio is Reverend Leander Hardaway. He is a New York Metro Lieutenant Governor. He has been a guest on this program previously, a friend from many years back. Nice to see you again and have you join us on our program. Good morning, Leander.
Thanks, Bob. Glad to be here.
And thank you for your help in establishing this program. This is, program literally has been in the works here for a number of weeks. We had just had to wait to the point where we had enough time to be able to have a real discussion of the length that is necessary for this kind of a chat. Joe, I'll tell you what. Why don't you introduce the guest who is joining us by phone on our program, Shannon.
We have joining us Shannon Bruce. She is a instructor for a program that's called FIRE, and I'll let her explain that. She's she's an athlete or former athlete that was a world medalist in the sport of karate. She has a master's degree in sports psychology as well as a bachelor's degree in sports kinesiology. She's been conducting this program, which deals with empowerment, for a general description, empowerment of women and empowerment of people in programming. So,
and FIRE stands for, it's Fight, Identity, Resist, Escape.
Escape.
That's the acronym with that. Shannon, first of all, good morning. Welcome to our program here on WFAN.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
It's nice to have you join us. Can you give us a little bit of an idea of how it is that you describe the FIRE program, first of all?
Absolutely. So, like you said, the acronyms is the amount of seminars that we host and that are customized for different situations that where violence against women is kind of the common denominator. And so the acronym is Fight, Identify, Resist, and Escape. So the entire program itself is customized to, like Joe said, empower women to defend themselves in a multitude of attack situations. So we use a combination of awareness, education, and physical self-defense tactics in each of the phases to cater to a specific theme in terms of violence against women.
I guess, what's the actual origin of this program? How did this get started?
Absolutely. So, like Joe said, I am a former AAU athlete for the karate area of the AAU. And so my family owns a martial arts facility, and we have always had a passion for women's self-defense, and we utilized our martial arts background and just our passion for creating awareness for violence against women, and created this program to cater to our community where we're from, and to increase that awareness of violence against women and to teach women to defend themselves. So we run a lot of seminars where we are from, and we now are looking to spread it and spread this knowledge and this passion of ours and this program across the board. And, you know, with the Urban Initiative, looking to bring in passionate community members to help us perpetuate that message. So it was the brainchild of our family's facility, and then just with a lot of the help from the connections we have with the AAU and Joe Mirza and a lot of the people that we've come in contact with, it was able to become what it is today.
And when you're talking about this, the FIRE program, how has this been received when you've been able to introduce this to people? What sort of questions come up?
We do mean with the participants that we run the seminar with?
Yes.
The seminar with.
Yes.
Well, we have a lot of questions about sexual assault, and we end up getting quite a few questions about like the legal side of violence against women, and also just just a lot of things, a lot of questions that have to do with prevention or what they can do to protect themselves, not necessarily just physically, but in their everyday life. So those are the majority of the questions we get, is just wanting more knowledge and asking us how they can implement what we're teaching them into everyday life, whether it's just walking on the street or dealing with disgruntled coworkers or anything along the lines of that. They just are hungry for more information.
And, I mean, what do you say when somebody says, how can they incorporate this into everyday life?
Well, aside from us, it, you know, it depends on the specific seminar that we run. Like I said, the four different seminars are created for specific types of scenarios. But we give them as much information as possible. I do have a background in women's advocacy, so I'm a crisis counselor. And so a lot of the, if I have a lot of our participants that might open up to me about past assaults or their fear of future assaults, you know, I give them as much as I can in terms of just information about how to keep themselves safer, and then also on the other end, how to handle and cope with any type of assault that they may have experienced beforehand, or, you know, God forbid, happens in the future. So, you know, we give a lot of ideas in terms of just staying awake, really, in their everyday life. So it's really easy to get distracted in our life the way that it is. So whether it's walking on the street and trying to stay more present and just aware of their surroundings, to, you know, if they're in a work environment where they're being manipulated, or there's someone that's demonstrating behavior that could be a precursor to some kind of assault, whether it be harassment or a full-on assault, we're really just teaching women to stay awake and to be aware of all the different faces that assault and violence against women has.
Okay. Joe Mirza, you want to jump in with a question? Yeah.
Yeah. The FIRE program is basically is utilizing awareness, education, and physical defense tactics to help women. And the key to this is awareness. Key to this is awareness and understanding your surrounding. The key to this is to understand the situation and be able to cope with the situation. And this is what the FIRE program and the different phases of it works with the people that are involved in it. The physical movements are very important, mm-hmm. obviously, but however, it's a lot safer to not to walk into a situation or put yourself in a situation. That is much more important than physically being able to get out of it. Because, again, sometimes you're put forward to, you know, very strong or very bad situations where your assaulter is considerably stronger than you are, has a greater advantage because they have intent and malice in them already to start with. So the whole idea of the FIRE program is to teach awareness and to understand where, you know, not to be. Is just as important as being able to defend yourself when you are into that situation. Our whole goal in this program, in the Urban Initiative, and specifically in Harlem, where we're going to be starting this program very shortly, doing this, is to bring the program and teach it to the community leaders, to the different instructors within a community. So rather than us coming, the AAU's idea is to create, you know, you were talking about partnerships mm-hmm. before. It's not only to create partnership, but also to have relationships created within a community. Our goal is to bring in, my goal is to bring in our instructors that are already doing this, teach the program, give them the curriculum, teach them the skills, test them, certify them that they're able to do this, teach the community, and have the community leaders go out and teach the program within their community. So what we're looking to do is not to just to come in and do a clinic for 50 people or 100 people. We want to teach 50 instructors. We want to teach 100 instructors who are going to reach out 100 each, who are going to reach out 100 each. So that is our goal. And that is the plan that we've been working with the Reverend Hardaway and with the Redemption Center for us to get a program started like this. And it's coming to fruition very soon.
Mm. And Shannon, this has got to be, well, I'm assuming from the standpoint of your background, what you've shared with us, it's got to be very rewarding work.
Oh, absolutely. The, you know, like Joe was saying, it's rewarding on a multitude of levels, because with the increase of awareness about with violence against women, we are empowering women who are taking these seminars, who, you know, they come in and they're, a lot of times they're timid or they don't really know how to respond. Especially my background, knowing that statistically speaking, the majority of them have experienced assault before. And then when they leave, just the sense of empowerment that they have is incredible. And we do teach where the best way to do this is to find ways to avoid situations and not fight, but to have the skills to fight if they need to. So creating that awareness to just avoid these situations or diffuse situations and to keep themselves safe that way. So our program isn't just empowering the women that are taking our program. It's also empowering these instructors, because they now get to experience this gratifying aspect where they see women just come to life. And again, they have a role in creating more awareness throughout the community and getting more people to care and pay attention to the issue that is violence against women in any community. So getting more people involved and creating that awareness and then having that common goal of empowering each other there's going to be an astounding response to that. So on the level of the participants that we see, just on an individual basis, is extremely gratifying, but then also being able to spread that and seeing more instructors experience empowerment themselves and then feel just kind of on fire when they're seeing their own participants becoming empowered. So it's gratifying on just a multitude of levels.
All right. Reverend Hardaway, do you want to just make a quick comment?
I just wanted to ask Shannon, do you find that people that have entered the program that may have been attacked before, the skills that are acquired become a gateway into dealing with the trauma that's associated with being attacked? Because long after you develop some physical skills or whatever, the trauma that comes about as a result of being attacked stays with people for years, whether they're male or female.
All right.
Absolutely.
And Shannon, hold that thought, because I'll tell you what we're going to do here. I want you to be able to have time to give the complete answer on that. We got to take a pause for sports updates, some messages. We'll come back, get into your answer, continue in our discussion here, because we have a lot more to go in the course of this discussion. Shannon has joined us. She's a FIRE program instructor. FIRE stands for Fight, Identity, Resist, Escape. We'll pick up with her as we come back on our program. An interesting discussion. We're covering a lot of things about AAU sports, some of the AAU Urban Initiative program as well, and we just scratched the surface of exactly where we're going to go in this discussion on our program on The Fan this Sunday morning. Good morning, everybody. This is Bob Salter. A busy program this Sunday morning. By the way, I hope by now you have downloaded the radio.com app. You know, it has that neat feature to it. And believe me, I've been using this myself, where you can literally listen to any WFAN program that you may have missed over the past 24 hours. Could be this show, could be another one of the shows on the station. It's really a cool thing to have. You can actually listen to radio on your own time. Kind of a neat thing. Miss something? go back, check it out. I do it all the time. But get that radio.com app, download it literally today. Well, we have a busy show. We're talking about AAU sports in New York metropolitan area, so many different other things that we're getting into in discussion. We have guests who are in studio with us, guests joining us by phone. Joe Mirza, who is CFO, National Treasurer of AAU, National Chairman AAU Karate, Jim Fox, who's Governor AAU New York. Joe Arminio was in studio with us earlier. He's Registrar AAU New York. Reverend Leander Hardaway, Lieutenant Governor AAU New York, have all been in studio in the course of this hour so far. We have another guest who's going to join us as we move into the 7 o'clock hour in studio with us. We have by phone a guest who has joined us as well. Joe?
Yes, we have Shannon Bruce from Chicago. She is an instructor for the fire program. She's a member of the AAU and one of our premier athletes and coaches within our program.
Okay. Now, Shannon, Leander had asked you a question a short time ago surrounding this. The question dealt with trauma. And I'd like you to have time to be able to respond to that. Could you give us your response now?
Sure, absolutely. So when we are teaching these programs, you know, statistically speaking, that we know going into it that at least half, to not more, of these women have experienced some kind of violence or harassment or anything along that line before. And so going into that, you know, there's a side of prevention and teaching women who have not been assaulted to prepare them for, God forbid, that does happen in their future. But it also is very important for women who have already been assaulted, because we refer to it as giving them their power back. And it helps them cope. It helps them feel stronger about it, because a lot of times women experience guilt for being assaulted, and them learning self-defense or learning awareness, they kind of feel like I said, they have their power back. And so it's a great way for them to cope, and it gives them a sense of empowerment and feeling that they have more control over their lives. And so we see that a lot with women who have been assaulted before, that they kind of come out of themselves and they feel more empowered, and they feel like they have more strength in their life, and that they can kind of overcome this piece of their past with the physical techniques that we give them, but also just that sense of self and that sense of strength that they're receiving from the program.
Well, thank you very much for joining us on our program, as well as sharing some of the information about the FIRE program. Certainly, good luck continued with your work. But it sounds like very rewarding and some fascinating things that you are involved in. Congratulations.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Well, on our program this Sunday morning, as I've mentioned, we have a number of guests who are going to join us by phone as we continue to explore some of the things that are going on involving AAU sports, some of the AAU Urban Initiative, Urban and Community Initiative program as well. Next up, in terms of a phone guest, Leander, would you introduce our next guest?
Yes, I'm pleased to introduce Ms. Rokisha Ford. We had an opportunity about a year ago to install a martial arts program in a public school in Harlem. And I had a very interesting interview with her, but when I had a chance to listen to her speak to the kids, she spoke very powerfully about the program that was created by Reverend Winley, that she's the deputy director of. And she spoke to the kids about trauma and the effects of trauma. And I'd never really heard adults talk to kids about trauma. And so what happens is it's an excellent piece that leads into what we're doing with the FIRE piece. Because what happens is the Living Redemption Youth Opportunity Hub really deals with young people who have been injured and them taking back their power as kids so that they can function effectively in society. So I'm honored to be able to introduce Ms. Fort.
Rokisha, good morning. Welcome to WFAN.
Hello. Good morning, everyone.
It's nice to have you join us on our program today. How do you describe what Living Redemption Youth Opportunity Hub is all about?
Well, the Living Redemption Youth Opportunity Hub, which was founded in 2017 by Reverend Maurice Winley, it was really a response to an increased justice involvement for young people in Central and West Harlem. We're actually funded through the District Attorney's Office, and we have what is called a Credible Messenger-led Transformative Mentoring Program. And Credible Messengers are people who are from the community, and they're deeply rooted in the community, and they have undergone their own transformation and are now in position to impact the community in a positive way. And these are what we call Credible Messengers, and they implement a transformative mentoring approach to dealing with and embracing young people and helping them through their own journey of healing and transformation. And we do this by involving them in a numerous amount of programs and aligning them with different resources as they go through this journey.
What has been the reaction to the work of the organization?
Well, the reaction is we have every day coming through our doors through referrals from friends and families. We have right now, over the course of 2 years, we have over 400 young people and their families that we're serving. And the impact has been great because we've also seen and are part of a lot of these young people, as I said, going through this transformation and this healing process and re-identifying themselves as positive members in the community as instead of just being in a community that they're taking from, that they're now giving back to the community in which they live.
Now, the specific situation that Reverend Hardaway referenced, that idea of talking about trauma to kids, you know, when he first said that, my immediate reaction was, what's the reaction of the kids going to be to that? But how do you, I guess, how do you phrase that with them, I guess, to kind of capture them in their attention in the right way? Or do you need to?
Well, the intention of talking about and discussing trauma with young people is to let them understand that some of the circumstances that they're going through or some of what they've experienced with their family, it's not a hopeless situation, but it's called something. And the rationale behind actually having that conversation is to be able to identify it so that they can begin to the healing process. We talk about, in the beginning, I talk about a lot of our young people are either justice involved or impacted by the justice system, whether it's a parent, a family member, a close relative, or a friend. The community at large has had a huge impact by the criminal justice system. And oftentimes we look at a justice involvement or the criminal justice system as in isolation and not as a symptom of trauma. So the conversation with the young people is allowing them to understand that we can prevent further justice involvement if we begin to work on how trauma has impacted our lives so that we can avoid the repetition of justice involvement, so that they don't have to continue the cycle of criminal activity or being involved with the justice system.
Leander?
I want the audience to understand is that while it may look like we have separate segments here, these things all fold together in terms of what we're trying to do in terms of a community. For instance, yesterday, Governor Fox was and Mr. Arminio were watching the end of a basketball game, and there was a young man there that was kind of acting out, talking about going home to go get something, and we all know what that means. And what happens is they got to see firsthand how the intervention of coaches as mentors, as well as just counselors as mentors, all works together. And that's how we got together with Ms. Ford, because she was pushing the idea of martial arts, because there are different kinds of mentors. Some of the greatest mentors and some of the greatest teachers are actually coaches, which I'm quite sure the governor we'll speak to later.
And we believe very strongly in coaches as mentors and as leaders, as role models. I run a large organization myself, Lightning Basketball, and we emphasize to our coaches in our ongoing training that the kids look up to them. They have such an important role in their lives. They're not just somebody that teaches the technical aspects of the sports. They have such respect. That's where the name coach comes from. So this is a very important role where kids can come forward, trust them, and they have to respond very favorably and very actively to that calling out at times for help.
Mm.
One of the things I'd like to say is one of the powerful things about the FIRE program and what Ms. Ford is talking about trauma is that it creates a community in terms of having a set language that we're all using. Because a lot of people have taught self-defense before. But what happens is when you just look at the acronyms for FIRE, mm-hmm. when you look at the fact that we're talking about the worst trauma, there are things in these communities that everyone needs to be talking about, and we actually understand. Sometimes we're disagreeing about stuff that we really should be agreeing about because we haven't defined what the actual definitions are of what we're talking about.
Let me, if I may, define martial arts. Most people look at martial arts as learning martial arts, as you're learning how to become more destructive, to become more aggressive, to learning how to, you know, to kick and punch and to hurt someone. But the reality is the martial art, the concepts that we're talking about, it's based on an idea called Budo. It's a Bu is a martial way. And the idea of Budo is strengthening of one's character as well as through one's strengthening of one's body. So the whole idea behind martial arts is not to teach just the ability to kick and punch and violence, but to be able to control yourself and control your emotions.
Okay, we're going to hold that thought. We have to take a pause for our top of the hour update, some messages. We'll come back. Rokisha, if you can hang in there with us as well, we'll talk more with you. We have other guests who are going to join us on our program On the Fan this Sunday morning. It is Sunday morning on WFAN. Good morning, everybody. This is Bob Salter. Long after our 8 o'clock update is Rick Wolf with the Sports Edge program. After 9 this morning, Ed Randall is by. He'll be talking baseball here on The Fan. Always a fun time when that happens. We are in a discussion talking about the work of AAU, AAU Sports in the New York metropolitan area, some of the work with the AAU urban and community initiative as well. We have a number of guests who have joined us and are going to be joining us in the course of our program. We roll until 8 on Sunday mornings, at least for the very near future. There'll be a little bit of change in that coming at some point in the month of April. But for now, we're a two-hour program. Yay! And in studio with us, we have Joe Mirza, who is CFO, National Treasurer of AAU, National Chairman of AAU Karate. In studio as well, Reverend Leander Hardaway, who is Lieutenant Governor, AAU in New York. And joining us in studio on our program is Dr. John Mannon, who is President of the New York State Jazz Literacy and Art Society. Dr. Mannon, it's nice to meet you. Nice to have you join us on our program. Good morning.
Good morning. It's a great pleasure to be with you, Bob, this morning.
Definitely an honor to have you with us. We'll get into talking with you about some of your work as well. And we also have joining us by phone in our program, she joined us in the latter portion of our 6 o'clock hour, Rokisha Ford, who is Deputy Director of the Living Redemption Youth Opportunity Hub in Harlem. Now, Joe Mirza, you had made a point just before we paused for our update and messages, and I think I kind of cut you off a little bit. Would you back up on that?
Yes, sir. We were discussing the concept of martial arts, that we're bringing martial arts programming to to an area where we want to prevent violence.
Mm-hmm.
The whole, you know, we're there to bring harmony and bring cooperation and the ability for relationships to flourish within a community and for good work being done. And a lot of times there's a misconception about martial arts, that martial arts are kicking and punching and throwing and grappling. And yes, they are. But that the essence of martial arts, the essence of Budo, is learning to control your violence, to control yourself through learning, through your body, through your development of your skills. If I know I have the ability to do something, we teach you, not only do you have the ability to do something, but you have the ability to control yourself and not to do it. And that's the essence of martial arts. Martial arts in itself, just kicking and punching, is violent. But what also comes along with martial arts is the idea of propriety, the idea of perseverance, the idea of respect, the idea of honor, the idea of doing the right thing. If martial arts lacked that, I would never do martial arts personally. The key to martial arts is the ethics that it teaches, not the physical skills. And that is what we're bringing in the AAU, and that's the whole idea behind us to bring into the Urban Initiative, into Harlem and into the New York metropolitan area. We want to teach control, how to control yourself. We want to teach respect. Because when you put yourself in front of another person that is doing a technique against you, you have to trust them.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to, and that person has to respect you, and you have to respect them because you are putting yourself in their hand.
Well, trust,
and that's one of the keys into when you learn martial arts, where respect is brought. Because if you don't trust and you don't respect me, it's not going to work, is it?
No, definitely not. Questions for Rokisha? Anybody? In the course of this discussion?
Ms. Ford, what happens is we've been having a series of conversations about AAU and the relationship between Living Redemption, Youth Opportunity Hub. Can you expand on what you see happening in the future with that union between AAU and the hub?
Certainly. We are, first of all, very excited to be partnering and working and implementing AAU. The first program, of course, that we want to get started right away is the FIRE program. And as Joe mentioned, what that's going to do for particularly our young ladies, we have a subgroup at Living Redemption called Sisters Saving Souls, and that's for all the young female members of the Youth Opportunity Hub. And much of what they're lacking is self-esteem, the self-worth, because of a lot of their trauma. We want to restore that, and we see FIRE as a way to give them the empowerment, the discipline, the voice. And Joe really nailed it when he talked about when you learn a skill and then you become disciplined about it, it increases peace and decreases the violence. So just allowing the young ladies to have this tool and then become trainers of this tool and watching it expand throughout Harlem in this way and having the community leaders take ownership of it, I think it's going to have such a great impact overall on just the health of the mental health of the young women in our community. FIRE is the first program we want to implement, and we're also trying to bring in a flag football league, as well as we want to bring jump rope and double dutch back into Harlem as a competitive sport. We're also looking to implement a basketball, full basketball program, and a chess program. So those are just a few of the many in the near future programs from AAU that we're looking to bring into Harlem through the Living Redemption Youth Opportunity Hub.
That's very, very impressive. Well, thank you for joining us on our program, sharing some insights on the work of Living Redemption Youth Opportunity Hub in Harlem. We certainly wish you the best with your work and with your efforts. And thank you very much for your time this morning.
Thank you.
Very interesting discussion that we are having, talking about the work of AAU and talking about AAU sports in the New York metropolitan area. In just a couple moments, we'll also work in the Honorable Cordell Clear in our discussion. But Reverend Hardaway, would you talk a little bit about Dr. Mannon, who has joined us in studio?
Yes. A couple of weeks ago, I was having lunch with Governor Jim Fox at the New York Athletic Club, and he had uncovered some opportunities where some grassroots organizations that were really dealing with young people had a possibility of getting some funding. And so what happens is I got involved with that. He asked me to look into it. And so what I did was I brought Dr. Mannon in. And what happens is that what we find is that there are limitations to what AAU does. So a lot of times when you're putting together this network of organizations, people get the wrong impression about various things. Obviously, you need money to be able to make certain things work.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is that what we're trying to do now is that if you've got a relationship working with AAU in what you do in the church or a secular organization, what happens is what we try to do is to work and provide the technical assistance for through the New York State Jazz, even though it sounds like jazz is more than just jazz, to work with those organizations in developing the wherewithal to go out and get grants funding in New York. In New York.
Now, New York State Jazz Literacy and Arts Society, which we mentioned earlier you're president of, how do you describe what the society is all about?
Well, we're about the promotion, preservation of jazz music as an American treasure, literacy, as well as the arts. And we were particularly interested in dealing with bringing together people in the arts and preserving the idea of the social man being enhanced. In other words, we bring together musicians who promote the art. We bring together people who are also artists in other disciplines. And we are addressing a couple of things. One is the attack on the human imagination.
Mm-hmm.
We have a very technological advanced society, but imagination is under assault in our society. And the idea of working together. The social man has been attacked in a way that families can be living in the same place, communities of people live by the thousands, but they have little interaction with each other, except through media. And sometimes we get imprisoned by our own selves, our own cell phones. my daughter rather text me than call me, but I'd rather hear her voice. So we're addressing that. And we see jazz in particular as an institution that where African Americans and others have come together and expressed themselves. And each person has a creative voice in the jazz society. And it confers dignity and identity on the musicians that enhances their idea of being human. And to be human is to be a being of excellence and dignity and distinction. So when I actually studied martial arts under Sensei Bolo, Leander Hardaway, and I see martial arts as a way of bringing people together to interact as a team. And if society is going to be surviving and advancing, we have to think of ourselves as communities and as teams of people working together to enhance our future and to shape the future. So the other aspect that we try to do is to bring economic development,
mm-hmm.
economic infusion into what we try to do, so we can be viable. And so we would like to be involved in helping what AAU is doing in terms of getting sponsors from the community, economic sponsors from the community, whether they be lawyers or corporations, et cetera. And we do this with jazz as well, with our festivals or free festivals. We get sponsors from different parts of the economic community. So, the word in a nutshell, we are very supportive of what AAU is doing. And it's a way to bring people together in our community and to enhance the social man, and not just the individual. Of course, there's human excellence, which is one of our goals, but on not just on individual level, but on the level of the team and the social order. Because after all, there's a saying, they say in Africa, they say, banding together, the ants beat the elephant.
That is something to think yeah. about as you progress through your day. When you the visual with that is I think perhaps the thing that really strikes me as you say that too. When you talk about this idea of AAU's urban initiative, and we talk about urban initiative, but it's really urban and community initiative. It's one of the things we were talking about before we started the program this morning.
Yeah, it's when I originally started this program up in Albany.
This is Joe Mirza speaking.
Thank you. It was called the county initiative because we were working within the county, because there's as many poor children in the counties, in rural areas, as there are in urban areas. And our services to all of them. The key is that what we want these people to do is to join our gang, the AAU, before they join someone else's gang. That's the key. Because properly structured sports, not just martial arts, properly structured, and I emphasize that, it's a way for socialization. It's a way to learn cooperation. It's a way to learn to be competitive. It's a way, a gateway to excellence, and it's character development. I talked about character development in Budo in martial arts.
Mm-hmm.
Sports develops character. Sports develops how to cooperate. Sports teaches you how to win graciously, but more importantly, how to lose graciously.
Mm-hmm.
It teaches you when you fall down, how to get up. Because in life, we're all going to fall down. I don't care how successful you are or who you are and how great of an athlete or a person you are. You need to learn how to get up. And that's the key of sports to teach.
We have more in our course of our discussion on our program this Sunday morning.
Radio.com.
We're in a discussion on our program, and it's a doozy of a discussion because we've been talking about AAU sports, the AAU Urban Initiative, Urban and Community Initiative program as well. A lot of guests have joined us in studio. Sports Edge with Rick Wolf follows our 8 o'clock update. Ed Randall's Talking Baseball is long after our 9 o'clock update on The Fan. One of the guests who's in studio with us is Reverend Leander Hardaway. You wanted to make a point?
Yes. One of the things I want to bootstrap off of what Chairman Mirza was talking about. We look at teams. I think that one of the great things about the Urban Initiative is that we look at teams in a two-tier situation. You've got teams. You've got volleyball teams. We've got basketball teams. We've got karate teams. We got that. But what happens is, in order to make this thing work, there's a level of teamwork that has to be done with organizations. For instance, we're one of the organizations that we work with is the American Clergy Leadership Conference. That's an interfaith clergy organization that encompasses Christians, Jews, Muslims. Okay, and so what happens is you don't find that level of cooperation in the so-called real world between those different groups working together.
Right.
Then we have different secular organizations that work together. So the whole concept of making the Urban Initiative work, because you have such a melting pot of people and organizations in urban areas that they have to look at themselves as actually a team. Just like we were talking about before, having a common language, having a common goal, having a common mission. So the Urban Initiative serves a dual purpose of bringing young people together under the umbrella of sports and understanding teamwork, which will help them later. And it also helps adults to understand that they, even though we have the greatest of individual missions, it doesn't work unless we meld our collective talents together to get the job done.
Hmm. All right, our next guest up by phone is Kevin Hanley. Would you introduce Kevin?
Yes, I met Mr. Hanley in a bodega, and I thought he was someone else because he has dreadlocks, and so we just started a conversation, and one thing led to another. And I took an interest in what he was doing with his kids. He's the president of an organization called One Village, One Voice. And he's working hard up there. He has a program that basically meets once a week. And he's trying to put like 8 programs into one day. So he's struggling to get that done. And what happens is he kind of represents what the Urban Initiative is all about. We're trying to get organizations and people who are trying to help these kids and doing the best they can to come together with what we're doing with AAU. And so we can create a stronger unity and move forward on the mission of helping kids.
Hey, see, I got distracted because I'm thinking about, well, who was this that you thought he was in this bodega when you said that completely distracted me there. But Kevin, first of all, welcome to our program here on The Fan. Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning. Good morning, everyone.
What has the experience been like?
My experience is, well, first, how the name of the program is called One Village, One Voice. My experience there, first how we got started was, I started with 4 kids. It was 2 of my kids and 2 other children from the neighborhood trying to get something started for these kids that had nothing to do. So we went into a church and started a little basketball program. Not even to be a program, just a little basketball team, just to have fun and, you know, enjoy basketball. And then as the kids started rolling in, I said, wow, this is great. So we went from 4 to 10 to 20 to about 40 kids coming in there. And I partnered up with a friend of a friend who is so into basketball and so into the kids. His name is Siobhan Johnson. And we came together and started a program, and we called it One Village, One Voice. From then on, we went from basketball to health to chess, boxing, youth roundtable talk, and now we're implementing volleyball and a number of other programs we have in the making. And now we have about 100 kids that come in and out of our program every Saturday.
All right, I got to ask a question. I've brought this up before on this program. Why is chess so big? What is going on here that chess is so big with kids?
Well, with chess, it's about strategy, decision-making, using your mind and how to figure things out. You could take chess into your, and you could take chess and bring it into what you want to bring it about to. So that's why we wanted to bring chess to the kids and let them have their own way of thinking and figuring out strategies and put it into their own form.
Leander?
Also, it goes back to what the chairman, Chairman Mercer, was talking about. What happens is that chess is really a game of war. And what happens is it allows you to sublimate what you normally would do violently, but you put it into a strategic context in terms of how you plan your action. So that's the Boo and Buddha. So what happens is that when you're sitting there, you're actually having a match with someone else and no one gets hurt.
Also, it's a great vehicle for you to show your personality. You know, to playing defensively or playing offensively and how you play and the strategy that goes into it. It's a very intriguing game. Most it's, you know, historically, many, many great leaders and warriors and generals have played chess as a way of sharpening their mind. It's important is that the idea of the Urban Initiative is to have the children from the neighborhood become athletically included within the community. That's the whole crux of this, whether it's through chess, which we don't think we'd not call as athleticism, but it is. It still is teaching you how to compete on a different level on here. So it's very, 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 very interesting game. Very interesting game.
It also teaches us how to solve problems, looking at both sides. It's like when you get ready to go to court, you prepare your opponent's case as well as your case. And this is how you approach problems. Look at all sides of the issue before you make that move. And deal with consequences of your actions. And another thing which I was very impressed by with the AAU is that it is combating a very, very pernicious myth that's permeated American society, and the victims of those myths have been mostly minority communities. The myth of the rugged individual, rugged individualism. Rugged individualism doesn't win games. It's teams that win games. And when the team wins, everybody gets the You know, Stephen Marbury, whoever it is, can score 50 points, but the team still lose. We're not talking about rugged individuals. We're talking about teamwork and cooperation among people in the community and cooperation with the institutions and stakeholders in the community, the police department, you know, the economic businesses in the community, and seeing the community as a team winning at life. And what we want to win at is at life itself.
So true. And even a step beyond, sports provides a family. Whether it's their first family that they're going to get, or just a secondary family for them to work with, so it's a sense of family that this brings to the individual, and it's more than a team, a family, a belonging, and that's very important to the youth today, or to the society. It's needed.
Kevin, is one village, one voice also, in a way, a sense of hope?
It's definitely a sense of hope of kids. Every Saturday they're taking something with them. At least most of the kids are taking something with them. We're also a mentoring program as well. We also outsource to other programs that, like, if we're doing things for job searching, we'll have another program come and tell the kids how they should dress, how they should present themselves, and also teach them about job experience. We also outsource to the banks to teach kids how to use a bank book, or basically how to bank in the banking system, which we live in today.
And that's something that's not taught in schools, but obviously
right.
is something that is very key for people just in surviving in life itself.
It definitely is. And that's what we're bringing to our community, and we're trying to bring it to as many communities as we can.
When you think of where you would like to see the organization's work go with One Village, One Voice, what do you see ahead?
Well, our goal and what I see ahead is an after-school program. I would like to get One Village, One Voice into a school community where we're hands-on with the kids in the school. And for me, I look to the schools that are lacking. I don't want to be in a perfect, I would like to be in a nice, perfect school, but that's not where we want to put our main hard work in. We want to go into the schools that's having the most problems, the most fights, the most gang violence. We're willing to put ourselves there where we can be the most effective.
Because you see yourself as an organization as being most effective there?
Well, we are effective in the community we in now. So, We're in a community in the North Bronx on White Plains Road where there's not too many community centers, or should I say rarely any community centers. And right now we have kids that's just coming in, pouring in. Where we at, we could hold over 250 kids, and it seems right now that we're outgrowing this where we're holding our youth program. So we definitely need to find another space or have a couple of spaces to operate the programs. And this is just on a Saturday. So our main goal is to basically be functioning not as a nonprofit. We are a nonprofit organization, but to be in an after-school program 5 to 6 days a week, a Saturday program and 5 days of the after-school program.
What do the kids say they get out of it?
They get a lot. I have a girl, a young girl that started with us. She caught the basketball with her face. This is how she would play basketball. She would get mad with the boys saying they throw the ball too hard, and she broke a couple of pair of glasses that her mom got mad about. And right now, through the training and through the confidence we gave her and her gaining confidence on her own as being a part of this program, she's playing in her college, and she became the defensive player of the year. Her first year, coming off the bench to being a starter, and this is her third year now. She's the captain of a basketball team. So what we do also is we take a lot of the kids that don't get accepted to basketball teams, don't get accepted to play on a school team, and we train them and we get them where they want to be. We ask them, where do you want to be? And then we get them to the where they want to be. So we have a lot of kids that came in there that couldn't play basketball too much, and but they knew what they wanted, and we got them to basically play on their teams in the long run.
Very impressive. Anybody with any questions for Kevin? And One Village, One Voice? Leander?
Kev, yes. Can you talk about, recently we were talking about the idea of integrating the AAU volleyball, which is really the fastest growing sport. It's really the largest sport now. It has eclipsed boys basketball as the most popular sport in AAU. Correct me if I'm wrong, Chairman Mirza.
Yeah, volleyball is the largest sport in the AAU. It has incredible growth in the last decade. As a matter of fact, this year, our junior volleyball championships in Orlando drew 45,000 athletes competing at a national championships. That's an incredible number.
Wait a minute. Hang on for a second. 45,000 athletes?
45,000 athletes, over 2,800 teams, 1.2 million square feet of space, I think over 200 volleyball courts, I think over 10 days. It's incredible. It's the only event that brings larger economic impact to Orlando is the Super Bowl.
Mm.
So it's big.
That's intense. Yeah.
The AAU is the largest amateur sports organization in the world, in the United States definitely, but probably in the world as well also, by our numbers. Most people claim millions and millions, but we have actual due-paying members that are, you know, that join the AAU, for which they receive practice insurance. We buy them, we give them, every kid that joins the AAU for their $14 card gets practice insurance, that if they get hurt, we cover them. If they have insurance, we become their secondary insurance. So we're a phenomenal organization with a heart. That's the key, and the whole idea behind the Urban Initiative, and the AAU Cares program, and the AAU Play programs, and all the things that we're doing is to show that we're here to help our communities, and not just the affluent community that can afford to travel to these international events that we participate in, but within every socioeconomic spectrum. We're here to help athletes. We help children, to help the youth of our country. They're our most precious resource is the youth. That's all we have. It's not how much money we have. Our most precious asset is our youth, and we need to be working with them.
The voice of Joe Mirza, who is CFO, National Treasurer of AAU, and National Chairman of AAU Karate. We're talking about the work of AAU, AAU Sports in New York metropolitan area. Number of guests with us in studio by phone. We'll come back, do the home stretch portion of our program on The Fan this Sunday morning. We're in a discussion talking about the work of AAU, AAU Sports in New York metropolitan area. A number of guests who've joined us in studio and by phone. By the way, back to the phone to Kevin Hanley, who's president of One Village, One Voice. Kevin, I don't know, did you get a chance to respond? I think you may not have.
The point about
volleyball, right?
Right, I did. My name is Kevin Finley.
Kevin Finley, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Well, it's funny that, it's not funny, but when you say volleyball, I went and did a survey, and I asked the kids, and mainly the girls answer to this question, and the question was, what kind of programs would you like to see come in the doors of One Village, One Voice? And the answers I got was mainly volleyballs, mainly from the girls. It was volleyball, and I was, like, shocked. And I didn't even know that some of the girls already played volleyball in their school. So when he says that volleyball is growing and it's like, surpassed in the AAU programs, I now can see it. I can see exactly where he's coming from firsthand from the answers I got in my program.
So obviously there's the enthusiasm there on their part for this. Do you see that literally growing?
Yes, I definitely do. And that's why we're structuring a volleyball program as we speak.
Hmm. Very interesting. I want to thank you for joining us and sharing the insights that you have on One Village, One Voice. Mm-hmm. Certainly the good luck with your efforts. And thank you for joining us on our program this morning.
Well, thank you for having us. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Wonderful guest joining us. A lot of folks have been with us on our program. We're going to wrap up our program, this portion of it, with the guests who we started with in studio on our program this morning, kind of going full circle. Jim Fox, who's the governor with AAU in New York, this area of insurance that Joe Mirza mentioned, why has that, or how has that been, I guess, an issue? In some cases,
so many people, I mean, with the whole insurance thing out there, so many people find themselves in very difficult situations. If there's an injury, AAU provides the best insurance in the youth sports market. Sometimes I talk to club operators and I say, "Well, what are you doing about insurance?" And they don't consider it. They're dismissive of it, and it's almost foolhardy. It is foolhardy. That someone gets injured, somebody has to be taken care of. The family will be put, or the guardian will be put in a horrendous financial situation. So insurance is pivotal. We make sure every athlete that we know of is registered and therefore insured. And AAU provides this great protection, and it's not to be taken lightly. Speak to anyone who's sustained an injury, a family who has to pay for an injury. So this is very important.
Insurance is a benefit of membership in the AAU. It's accident insurance is provided to every athlete that becomes a member of the AAU as part of their membership fee.
And when we're talking about some of the things that we've heard this morning from some of the guests who have joined us. I mean, you know, when you talk about this idea of the urban and community initiative program, this idea that you started with mm-hmm. has given birth to so many other paths, ideas, developments. I mean, this literally has exploded.
Yes, thank you. Yes, it has. It's
and it's not done.
No, it's not. It's not even we haven't even scratched the surface. It all starts with the AAU. I mean, this is the AAU, and I've been a member of the AAU since 1972. I've been an athlete. I've been a coach. I've been an administrator, a national sports chair, international athlete. National officer. Now, I've done many years of the AAU,
mm-hmm.
and I stay here because I see the value that it brings to society. I see the value that it brings to the kids. I get the opportunity to work with some of the who I consider some of the most generous and giving people on earth, like Jim Fox, sitting across from me. I mean, an amazing. New York Metropolitan is blessed to have him as a governor. And I'm not saying because he's sitting here, but just what he's done as a person, as a human being. We create opportunities because we don't go to a person or to an initiative shake their hands with our palm up.
Mm-hmm.
We walk to them and we ask them, how can we help you grow? This idea of partnership, this idea of cooperation. How can we help you help the same people we're trying to help, we're trying to work with? And I think by being open that way, we've received a lot of positive response from a lot of different people. They look at us and go, wow, they're looking to do the same thing as we are. And that is really the key.
All right. We are joined at this point in our program by our final phone guest. The Honorable Cordell Clear is joining us, New York City District Leader in Harlem, founding member of the Michelle Obama Community Democratic Club. First of all, good morning. Welcome to our program here on The Fan.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well, thank you. This is Bob Salter. We have our guest from AAU Sports here with us on our program. This discussion, this idea of AAU's work in terms of the Urban and Community Initiative Program, what do you see this meaning? How do you see this in terms of being beneficial in the lives of underserved kids?
Well, anything that positively occupies young people who are brilliant, who are just vessels ready, waiting, to be open, it's helpful because anybody who feels they're good at something wants to protect that something. And I think opportunities like sports definitely provides a way for people to focus on something, learn something, do something that makes them a part of something else. And it makes them, it encourages them to protect their bodies, protect themselves. And, I just like the idea of fostering good fitness habits early, in our community at older ages and even at younger ages. You know, there's a huge disparity for every disease you could think of. And many diseases, sports, and being active and using your body helps stave that off and prevent that from happening. And I just don't think there are enough opportunities for young people to get out of the apartments that we live in. We have an increasingly growing city. Spaces are smaller. We need opportunities for young people and even older people to get out and be fit. But right now we're talking about young people. And also sometimes these sports, I realize, are very hard to get into. Sometimes it's a financial burden for families to get into sports and to do things. So I think that if you have an entity that can encourage that and just help families be able to do that, that's definitely going to be better for our young people.
Very interesting response. When you think about this whole idea of the Urban and Community Initiative in being involved in supporting efforts in Harlem, various portions of Harlem, and throughout New York City, what is that going to really mean for the community in terms of the way in which not only the young people are able to hopefully thrive, but for the community itself?
Well, certainly sports can lead to other opportunities in life. Everybody doesn't necessarily get the contract to play for the team, but everybody doesn't know that there are other opportunities to work in sports and to do other careers. And I think that something like this will open the eyes. It will expose people to other careers that they can choose. And, we are facing huge unemployment rates in this community, even though other parts of the city may be doing well, the Black community always, in particular, suffers from low unemployment rates. And I think that this opens up another channel. So that's one way in which it helps the community. I think if we can expose children to understanding, there's other paths to go down, and you can still do something that you really, really love and be involved in something that you really love. I think that's helpful.
All right, Joe, and you have a question, Joe Mirza?
I just was going to add on to Ms. Cordell's comments. The AAU provides opportunity within the community, but here's one thing that also the AAU does provide. It provides the ability and an avenue for competition beyond the community, which exposes the community to the outside world. The AAU is the gateway to competing at district level, at regional level, at national level, at international level. Mm-hmm. So that opportunity is given to the athletes. And part of the urban initiative is for us to allow qualifiers within the community that we are going to come and help them to continue in a higher level of competition. There's so many phenomenal athletes that don't get the opportunity to participate at a national or international level competition. And we want to open that door for them through our program. And the Metropolitan District has been very, very supportive of this. They're going into and looking at these athletes, saying, "My goodness, this athlete could play at a regional level, at a national level." And they've looked at this, and this is something that we think is a important part of what the AAU brings to this program.
Very interesting discussion. The Honorable Cordell Clear joining us on our program, New York City district leader in Harlem, a founding member of the Michelle Obama Community Democratic Club. Thank you for joining us on our program. Certainly the best continued with your efforts, but thank you for sharing some of your thoughts with us this morning, too.
Thank you.
On our program, we just have a minute or two left here in discussion. With the Urban and Community Initiative Program, what do you want our listeners to remember as we wrap up in a takeaway from this? And I guess, is there one thing, two things that kind of would stand out? Literally, we've got a minute left.
I'll be quick. Just that the AAU is reaching out. And look, we love our basketball. We have our district championships, which is the best in the country. You know, every player, as anybody's played in our district championships. But also, it's more than just basketball. And it's the reaching out to the youth and their parents and people who love sports. It brings sports together with community, the betterment of everybody, community.
And if everybody wants to get just a better idea of AAU sports, they can go to aausports.org and see all the different sports that are available and see what they can bring to their communities.
I would say become involved and participate. You live here. This is our community. Be engaged.
Very interesting discussion. AAUsports.org, the website that was mentioned. A number of guests have joined us in the course of our program this morning. A tip of the hat to everybody who has joined us. Literally, I think we set a record for the number of people on this program in 2 hours in all the years that I've been doing this. How on earth did that happen? Well, on our program on Sunday mornings, we hopefully have some fun and bring you some good information. Hopefully you enjoyed our discussion today. You will enjoy the program that follows Mr. Minko's 8 o'clock update. That is Rick Wolf's Sports Edge program. And then, well, at 9 o'clock, enjoyment. I think that pretty much sums it up. Ed Randall will be by. He'll be talking baseball here on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.